Ed Reardon's Week by Christopher Douglas and Andrew Nichols. Episode 5, Role Reversal.
Monday. Calories, 4,600. Units of alcohol, 12. Tuesday. Calories, about the same. Ah, no, there was the cheese roll during Frankenstein Must Be Destroyed. Although, actually, that went on until 2 a.m, so perhaps put that into Wednesday. Except Wednesday was curry night at the Lockkeeper's Arms, so I need to redistribute some of those calories and the 30 units of alcohol. Maybe Thursday. No, Thursday was the Writers Guild committee meeting, so no room there. Start again. Monday. Calories, 5,800. Doesn't have to be exact. I rather think there might be a book in this. Wasn't it T.S. Eliot who wrote of measuring out one's life in coffee spoons? He was lucky not to live in an age where cardiac departments require the already overburdened writer to keep a food diary. Not just coffee spoons, but sweet eggs, biscuits, crisps, sausage rolls, and the whole litany of demonised aids to creativity. So I'll take no lessons from Mr. Eliot, with his fat salary from the bank and his cushy number at Faber and Faber. And he was American. Couldn't spell centre or theatre. And called prawns shrimp, if you please. Ah, yes. Sardines on Thursday night. Oily fish. That'll tick the right box, as the 12-year-olds say. Then if I gloss over the liver sandwich from Friday breakfast, I'm down to 3,000. Getting there. Well, you needn't look like that, Elgar. You ate a frog this morning. That's not exactly looking after your body, is it?
Can I ask you one question?
If it's about the pages being stuck together, I should point out that it's diabetic marmalade.
That's no use to you at all. It's just another myth dreamed up by our friends in the marketing department. But what I am interested to know is, how long are you planning to live?
Well, I did buy a return bus ticket to come to the hospital, so I suppose that constitutes a measure of optimism.
Well, it's misplaced, I have to tell you, on the evidence of your food diary, and more strikingly, and I suspect rather more accurately, your lipid profile. Good cholesterol, 3.1.
Ah.
Bad cholesterol, 8.4. Triglycerides, 4.6. Yes, are you aware of the significance of this?
Vaguely.
I'd say not, or you wouldn't be persisting with your idiotic lifestyle.
I'm doing my best.
No, you aren't. Not for someone who's had a triple bypass. If I was in charge of this hospital, which unfortunately I'm not, I'd give instructions that people who smoke and drink as much as you do should be turned away at the gates to make room for the genuinely sick.
Right.
But until that day arrives, I suppose I'd better increase the burden on the taxpayer by putting you on a higher level of statin. Right, there's your prescription. Do you pay for your medication?
No, I'm registered as unemployed.
I see. So you can't even blame your condition on pressure of work, can you? Can you?
No.
No. The pharmacy's on the ground floor. A&E is just around the corner for when you have your stroke.
Large latte, please. Oh, no, on second thoughts, regular cappuccino. Regular's small, isn't it?
No, regular's large. Tall is small.
Obviously. Then a tall cappuccino.
Right. Do you want sprinkles on that? Chocolate? Cinnamon?
Yes. Oh, no, rather, no. Just as it comes. The rest of my life starts here.
Come on, Beardy. Hurry up. There's people dying of superbugs while you're making your mind up.
Oh. Hello, Dave.
If a writer is ever feeling battered by criticism and generally low in spirits, there's nothing like sitting in a hospital food court with an out-of-work actor to raise the self-esteem. Dave Wang and I first worked together on my episode of Tenko, Escape from the Bamboo Noose, or Bamboo Nose, as it infuriatingly continues to say on the Internet Movie Database. Since Dave's harrowing, and one has to say protracted, death scene face down in a studio swamp, our career paths have crisscrossed like so many jungle tracks, some broad and sunlit, others dark and tangled, with no catering wagon at the end.
Yes, Dave, you and I have come a long way in the last 25 years.
No, we haven't. You're still wearing the same fishing hat.
Well, you're looking very spruce, I must say.
Yeah, things on a bit of an upward curve at the moment.
So are you still strutting your stuff as the Aylesbury United mascot? Well, waddling your stuff.
Nah, knocked that on the head. It was the travelling got to me. Oh. That and the costume. So bloody hot. And I ended up with eczema off the big beak. Wound up in here in the run-up to Christmas, which meant I wasn't available to do Santa Claus by the fountain in the Galleria.
Really?
Ever heard of picking up the phone?
Oh, well, I can pass your name on if you like.
No, well, actually, I'm probably going to be doing a book. I think I'm on a bit of an upswing myself.
Well, worked out for the best then, because if I hadn't come here, I wouldn't have got involved in the registrar's training programme.
And what do you have to do for that? Pretend to be a corpse?
Wednesdays, yeah. But today, for example, I'm awkward outpatient. Bit of a stuck-up type, hence the suit. And the trainee doctors, they have to deal with me.
Oh, I've heard about this. It's called role-playing.
Mm.
Another asinine waste of taxpayers' money.
It's cash in hand is what it is. Brown envelope on your way out.
Really?
Yeah, you'd be good at it. You get up people's noses without even thinking about it.
That's very flattering of you.
And some of these young doctors, they don't know if they're coming or going. £100 a day. You'd have to do 10 of your police identity parades to earn that much. And you can sit down and you don't have to look guilty. Where else are you going to earn that kind of money?
Oh, by writing a bestseller.
Ed, what is this?
I'd have thought it was perfectly obvious.
Calories 4,600, units of alcohol 12.
Yes, I thought it might be fun to start each entry that way. It's a light-hearted self-help book, you see, for the person of a certain age who's on his own.
Right, so a singleton. Look, if this is a joke, like one of those weird emails you send with Latin in, I just don't get it.
Well, I thought it could be called something along the lines of Spring Clean Your Autumn.
Ed, this is like one of the most stressful weeks of my life, yeah? We're merging with another agency, I'm going to have to reapply for my job, and you are trying to sell me something that in the last 10 years has been a book, and another book, and 2 movies, and a newspaper column, and a box of chocolates, and a range of cosmetics.
Has it?
You just nicked Bridget Jones's diary.
I really don't understand you, Ping. You're forever telling me that the secret of publishing isn't to be original, but to come up with something just the same. Well, I do exactly that, and you hurl it back in my face. I mean, to be perfectly frank, you deserve to be merged.
Oh, Ed, go away.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was very thoughtless of me. So, tell me, what's going to happen exactly?
Felix is amalgamating the agency with DC Charles.
Really? Why?
He died.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it was, like, 62.
Oh, well.
So that's why we're all having to reapply for our jobs.
Do you mean I might be getting another agent instead of you?
Hopefully not, but yeah.
Well, perhaps I'd better just hang on to this treatment. I could end up with someone even younger than you who's never even heard of Bridget Jones. Oh, said the wrong thing again, haven't I? Here, look, blow your nose on this. I can always print up another copy, I suppose. Wednesday. Projected income from proposed book, £0, nought pence. Outstanding bills, £375.50. At times like these, the writer must scavenge like a lone prairie dog to survive and earn money. While George Orwell skivvied in a Paris kitchen, and Albert Camus kept goal for Algeria, Ed Reardon, too, is obliged to cast himself into a hostile wilderness of dangerous uncertainties, otherwise known as my weekly writing class.
If you don't take your anorak off, you won't feel the benefit.
Thank you, Olive. Force of habit, I'm trying to cut down my heating bills at home.
Are you not on Economy 7?
No, what's that?
Oh. I reckon that saves me about £200 a year. Going to my kitchen at 1:01, it's like Billy Smart's. Everything happening at once. Washing machine, tumble dryer, George Foreman lean mean grilling machine. That eats it up.
Thank you, Stan. And chill penury is something that every writer must be prepared to overcome.
Not us. We've got our pensions.
And I've got me 22K from Seven Trent on top of that.
Very happy for you, Stan. But a serious writer must be prepared to work without the benefit of a safety net, to borrow your Billy Smart's analogy.
I'm not a serious writer. I'm just doing this for fun, supposedly.
I wouldn't be here if I could still be a medical guinea pig.
Oh, I used to like that. Pretending to be a patient for the hospital students. You'd go in, get a cup of tea, put your nightie on, and it was 20 questions. I could make them blush, just like that.
Yeah, but they were wrong about my leg. Barking up the wrong tree entirely.
Pity it's all come to an end.
Oh, has it? According to a friend of mine, you can make quite a reasonable living out of it.
Well, this is it. It's all gone corporate now. The men in suits have got it all sewn up.
Yes, yeah, a sad indictment on our times that there are those who seek to make money out of what was once a civic duty. Anyway, where were we?
The Algerian goalie.
Ah, yes, Albert Camus. L'étranger.
Come on, Biddy. There's an empty table there.
That's reserved for hospital staff.
That's us now, mate. We are an integral part of the NHS. Get us a couple of sachets of brown sauce.
It says condiments for doctors only.
We hold the future careers of doctors in the palm of our hands. Smell that.
Shepherd's pie, past its best.
Power, smell of. We're the ones in charge now.
Yes, I suppose I did wrong foot a couple of the more junior 12-year-olds.
I made two of mine cry. What you got this afternoon?
Let's have a look at the notes. Graves' disease.
Oh, that's good. You're doing it already. Eyes bulging out.
What? No, I was just looking to see if it says when we get paid.
Oh, they come round with your envelope at the end. I'll give you a lift home if you like.
Oh, thanks very much.
Park my van in the chair of hospital trust space. Like to see her tell me to move, have her out of her job in no time.
Yes, I can see how this could become quite addictive, Dave.
Oh. Short-sighted. Toothache. No.
Oh, for heaven's sake, girl, my eyes. Throbbing pain, throbbing at my temples.
You're a werewolf. Thyroid.
Oh, at last. Dear, oh dear.
Well done, Dr. Rampal. Okay, that's all for today.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Good luck, Dr. Rampal. Hope they find a job for you somewhere.
Some nice work there, Ed.
Oh, it's very kind. You never really know until you get out there in front of the audience on the ice, as we say. So, how do we do this, Matt, is it, I'm assuming? Do I get my brown envelope from you now? Or
yeah, here we are.
Cocoa, cab home, I think. So, when do you need me next? Tomorrow morning? I can be here whenever you like.
Whoa. Lots of nice work there, as I say, but room for improvement. I mean, you did go off script there at the end.
Well, of course, I wasn't going to take the werewolf diagnosis lying down.
So, probably, what we'll do is have a little look at how your role plays went today, maybe chat to the client, and very possibly we'll get back to you, perhaps.
Right. Well, it'll be lovely to work with you again, Matt. And, by the way, I can do very high triglycerides and sciatica.
Fantastic.
Just to plant the thought.
Friday. With my future career as a role player still uncertain, I thought it prudent to keep all my professional options open and put in an appearance among the mourners at the funeral of the uber-literary agent D.C. Charles, reason for whose demise was lunch with my own agent Felix, calories 12,000, units of alcohol 65, increased annual turnover to Felix Jeffrey Associates due to the acquisition of the late D.C.'s clients, approximately £30 million. Estimates vary. You could hardly hear Felix's eulogy above the scribbling of calculations on the service sheets.
And as you know, as I called for the bill and the paramedics, I became aware of the immense responsibility of looking after Desmond's many distinguished clients. For what, after all, is a literary agent?
A blood-sucking glutton.
And isn't it marvellous that we live in a country where that sort of thing can still be said without anyone being taken out and shot? A literary agent is a good shepherd, and I aim to be a very good shepherd indeed to these sheep, or authors, who are now entrusted to my agency's care. And that includes looking after not only the estates of the late Ivy Compton Burnett and A. Hausman, but also those authors who are happily still with us, heavy hitters responsible for such blue-chip titles as Patio Cookery, More Patio Cookery, Pubs Where You Can Drink Naked, and not forgetting Cook the Kevin Peterson Way. Welcome, one and all, to Felix Jeffrey Associates International.
No, I won't, thank you.
Ed? But it's free.
I have to stay sharp now, Ping, if I'm going to compete with the author of Pubs Where You Can Drink Naked and Ivy Compton Burnett. Have you reapplied for your job yet?
No, why? Have you heard something?
Oh, hi, Ping. It's Pepsi. You remember me?
Oh, yeah, hi, Pepsi. This is Ed.
Hello, Pepsi.
Yeah, Pink, I think I got your room at the Frankfurt Book Fair. I keep meaning to say sorry about that. I really hope you found somewhere to sleep.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I thought you would. So, looks like we're going to be rivals, Pink. fighting for the same job?
Yeah, to the death. Rubbish when you have to shaft your mates, isn't it?
How many clients have you got, Ping? Just a select few, yeah?
Well, there's myself.
I've got loads of others apart from Ed.
Are you Ed Reardon?
It's a fair cop. As one of my titles has it.
The unofficial prime suspect book. That was you. Oh, that was totally brilliant.
Yeah, but I got it for him.
So, what are you working on at the moment, Ed?
Well, I did have an idea for a humorous diary about a man of a certain age, but I've been told by Queenie Levis here that it's too derivative.
We just don't need another Bridget Jones.
Bridget who?
Well now, Pepsi, perhaps you and I should have a conversation over lunch sometime.
You're not allowed lunch, Ed.
Give me a call any time, Ed. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've really got to go and talk to A.E. House.
Oh, well, good luck.
She's dead, Pepsi. So ignorant. See you at the interview.
Justice Houseman himself was shrewd enough not to succumb to the blandishments of some Edwardian Pepsi and give up the day job. I too thought it advisable to accept another day's work role-playing at the local hospital. As my new employer explained, a vacancy had arisen due to a bitter irony that would have appealed to the Shropshire lad himself.
So, today you're Graham Patterson. You're interviewing prospective CEOs of the East Hertfordshire Primary Healthcare Trust.
You mean pretend prospective CEOs?
No, these are all genuine applicants.
You mean for those jobs in that bit of the paper I put under the cat bowl? I have a say in deciding who gets them.
Very much so. And here are the briefing notes for when you're Graham Patterson.
That's bigger than my last five books put together, without the pictures.
I'm sorry we're having to fast-track you through this, but we've had an unfortunate experience with Mr. Wang.
Drunk again. Sorry, inebriation issues.
Absolutely not, but sadly, one of the applicants recognised Mr. Wang from an episode of Holby City he'd seen on UK Gold the night before.
Why was that a problem?
If you think about it, you've got a hospital porter interviewing a potential chief executive.
Well, if I think about it, I'd go mad, because the whole thing is like a hall of mirrors. I mean, what happened to the old-fashioned appearance before a board?
Ed, do you want the role-play assignment or not?
Oh, yes, very much. So, yes, I'll digest these notes and be ready to inhabit the character at your convenience.
Fantastic. I'm really excited about this.
Just one thing.
Of course, it's £250 plus expenses if you need to buy pens to put in your top pocket, that sort of thing.
Excellent. No, it's just the name, Graham Patterson. Could it... it's early days, yes, I know, but it feels more like a Lance Patterson to me.
Afraid that's non-negotiable. We've had the laminated badge made and the nameplate for your desk.
No doubt that's been approved by one of your focus groups.
Two, actually. One for Graham and one for Patterson.
Monday, or whatever day of the week it is in the brave new world of drama-based human resources recruitment assessments. Applicants, four. Gibbering Rex, also four. Not since that never-to-be-repeated day at school when the masters served us our Christmas dinner have I experienced the giddy euphoria of power without responsibility. The beetling brow, the quizzical look over the top of the spectacles, the thumbs hooked into the lapels, I deployed them all. The only cloud on the horizon, as a hard morning's intimidation drew to a close, was the prospect of yet another low-cholesterol, alcohol-free lunch, as prescribed by my cardiac consultant, who, as luck would have it, turned out to be applicant number five.
Right, I'll just sit at the back and let you guys talk turkey.
Thank you.
I didn't tell you to sit down, Mr. Travis, but since you have, we may as well get on with it.
Sorry, Mr. Patterson.
So consumed was he by his ambition to control the fates of East Hertfordshire's health workers and patients that he didn't even recognise one of his own. So, Mr. Travers, the situation is that you have an overcrowded hospital, my department's having to deal with a media storm about patients being left on trolleys. As the CEO of the PHT in question, how do you propose to deal with it?
Well, what I would say is that waiting lists have continued to come down and nobody will have to wait on a trolley in a corridor for longer
yes,
than...
Yes, we've heard all the platitudes. I've heard them several times this morning already. Now, Mr. Travers, I wash.
I'm sorry, Mr. Patterson, but if it's the truth, I don't see
so
what else I can...
The truth, is it? I thought you were being paid to come up with solutions. All right, what about reducing the backlog by, for the sake of example, turning away people at the gates because they smoke and drink and overeat?
Well, yes, that's a good way of making the situation even worse because it flies in the face of everything the National Health Service stands for. Free treatment for everybody at the point of...
Blah, 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 blah. Tell me, Mr. Travers, do you smoke?
Well, no. Not really.
Well, which is it? The ash on your waistcoat would suggest that you do.
I was a bit nervous. I had a cigarette outside.
And how about drink? How many units a week? More than 21?
Oh, well, that's an arbitrary figure plucked out of the air by the Department of Health back in the 70s.
Oh. So you peddle marketing nonsense as well, then? Well, forgive me, Mr. Travers, what I see before me is an alcohol-abusing nicotine addict who has no confidence in his own medical opinion. I'm confused. What on earth do you think qualifies you for this executive position?
Well, over 25 years of service at the...
I do believe you're going to say coalface, aren't you? We're talking about a hospital, not a pit, even though the lifts might be similar.
Look, I really need this job. I've just got divorced. There's the children's school fees, some debts.
The truth at last. Poking its head up like the first daffodil of spring. Mr. Travers, if you're a fit person to run a health trust, then the moon is made of cheese, and my name is not Graham Patterson. And talking of cheese, you're keeping me from my luncheon. Good morning. Oh, this is the life, Elgar. Back on the sauce. Job satisfaction, dinner on the table. On the floor, in your case. Guardian Society. Where will Graham Patterson strike next? Just put your paw somewhere. Go on, anywhere. British Nuclear Fuels looking for a press officer. They won't know what hit 'em. Brent Council Social Services. That will be like taking candy from a baby. Go. Oh. Yes. Oh, hello, Matt. Yes, Graham Patterson here. Oh, thank you, that's very kind of you. I'm a mere catalyst, really, revealing what's already there. Next Tuesday? Yes, absolutely. Where is it? Where won't they be expecting the Spanish Inquisition this time? Ah, very upmarket. Graham Patterson again, is it? Oh, better wear a cravat for that.
Oh, hello, Beardy.
Quentin Lejeune to you.
Yeah, me too. What have we got today, then?
I've only just started reading the notes because my attention's been elsewhere.
Yeah, you nearly finished that bowl of rice crackers yourself. Oi, Sonny, can we have a refill over here, please?
It appears to be some sort of restructuring of a media company.
Great, this, isn't it? Free snacks, posh name, West End Hotel, £250 a day. Who want to run British Gas or the Olympic Committee when you can be guys like us deciding their fate? Have your lunch and you're at the pictures by the afternoon. Minimum stress.
Yes, an unusual take on man's desire to make his mark on the world.
Talk about making a mark. You see that pillock they put in charge of London Transport? The one who gave his wife a jet? That was one of mine. Teach him to do me for fair dodging.
Dave, would you just excuse me for a moment?
Yeah. And hurry that waiter up with the crackers. Who appointed the staff here, cowboys?
Hello, Ping. What are you doing here?
Ed, will you stop stalking me, huh? Talk to the accounts department. This is only like the most important day of my life.
Why, is Johnny Depp brunching here or something?
No, it's my job interview.
Ah.
And I've got to get my head round this role play, pretending to impress a new client.
It wouldn't be Quentin Lejeune, would it?
Yes, but how do... OMG.
Right, I'll just sit at the back and let you guys talk turkey.
Thank you. So, Ping.
Yeah? Yes.
It's a very interesting name. How did it come about?
Well, like, my real name's Pandora, which is really embarrassing, and there's four others at the agency already, and, like, my family's name is Ingleby Thomas, so it's like squashing the whole thing together, but I really, really like your books. God, they're brilliant.
Oh, that's encouraging. What do you particularly like about them?
Oh, I just like all the stuff that's in them.
You mean the writing?
Yeah, I really, really like your writing.
Good. You wouldn't mind just saying that again, would you?
I really, really like your writing, Quentin.
That's so refreshing, because you wouldn't believe some of the agents I've had to deal with. They don't return your phone calls, they expect you to work for nothing, they never take you out to lunch.
Oh, that's not how I do it. I, like, have automatic lunch.
Where, in a pub?
No, in a proper 3-star place with pudding. wine and everything.
How many bottles?
Sorry to interrupt, but aren't we getting a bit bogged down in detail here?
Yes, sorry. So, Ping, if I were to come to you as a client, you'd guarantee me encouragement, personal touch, one-to-one attention?
Oh, yeah, totally one-to-one attention.
In fact, you'd treat me as though I were the only client on your books.
Absolutely. I'd treat you as if you were my only client.
Hmm. Good.
With automatic lunch.
Excellent. Well, I think that's covered pretty much everything.
So, what did you think of your candidates, guys?
Well, Matt, I like Pepsi.
You mean you fancied her?
No. Well, yeah, obviously. But I like what she said.
Yes, I did too. When you asked her how she saw herself as an agent.
Yeah, very affecting, I found that.
What did she do? Offer not to take her 10%?
No, she described herself as a good shepherd, wanting to look after me like one of her flock.
Well, I'm afraid she stole that wholesale from a speech at a funeral service last week.
Did she? Well, that's a tick in the wrong box.
So she's a bit unscrupulous. That's what you want in an agent, isn't it?
Hardly reflects well on us, though, does it?
No, the one I like was the little girl, what was her name? Georgiana, was it? Ping. That's it, Ping. As you can see, my boxes are positively disintegrating under the sheer weight of ticks.
Cool. Okay. Hang on a minute. How do you know she heard it at a funeral service? Whose funeral was it?
Ah, here comes the man with the rice crackers. Tuesday. Never having knowingly committed an altruistic act in a professional context before, I was surprised by the agreeable sensation brought on by knowing that my efforts at getting Ping rehired had worked. Less agreeable and rather more familiar was the letter telling me my role-playing days were over, as a consequence of not declaring an interest as a client of Matt's client. Dave Wang, on the other hand, continued his steady progress to world domination.
Ah, I see George Galloway has been appointed the new ambassador to Israel, Elgar. It's got Dave's handiwork written all over it. Hello?
Hi, Ed.
Ah, Pandora.
Yeah.
Seriously, Ping, thank you again for the wonderful high-calorie lunch the other day. Did you get my thank you note?
Yeah, love the Latin bit. Now, Ed, how do you fancy doing a book?
Certainly. New novel, perhaps? Collection of my unbroadcast radio plays.
I think it's high time you did a travel book, yeah?
Oh, that's very tempting. In the style of Paul Theroux, Patrick Lee Fermor.
Kevin Peterson.
Right. Where's he going? And would I have to meet him?
The Lake District, and no, you'd only do the walks.
Oh, dear God.
Only $2,000, but it'd be brilliant for lowering your cholesterol.
Ed Reardon's Week starred Christopher Douglas, with Stephanie Cole, John Fortune, Matt Green, Sally Hawkins, Rita May, Jeffrey McGiven, John Luke Roberts, Kim Wall, Jeffrey Whitehead, and Katie Wicks. It was written by Christopher Douglas and Andrew Nichols. The producer was Dawn Ellis.